Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Sit up in heavenly places. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, tonight I'm going to be sharing with us, and I want you to open up your hearts. Always remember that whenever we gather for our Tuesday, Wisdom and Power Night, it is always a different encounter with God. I want you to always know that when you keep an appointment with God, He also keeps an appointment with you. So you must ensure that you are not distracted. You must ensure that you refuse to allow anything that has the capacity to distract you. Every time we appear before God, there are a few things you must take note of. Number one, God is always speaking. Bible says the Lord is in His holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent before Him. That means God will speak to your heart. God will speak to your soul. Every time we appear before God and your faith is ignited, the Bible says, and while Jesus was yet speaking, the power of God was present to heal. In other words, every time we appear before God, the power of God is always present. For He has said, where two or three are gathered in My name, I am there. It will make no sense that God is present, willing to deliver, and you have little or no capacity to hold. So I'd like to charge every one of us to prepare our hearts tonight. For the few minutes we're going to spend, ensure that your heart is connected. I want to share with us this evening on following Jesus. Following Jesus. Amen. Amen. Following Jesus. You and I know the song, the popular song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We're going to do the song like two or three times. Then we'll get on with our message tonight. How many of us know the song? Media, if you can also help us get the song in a stanza, please try and see what you can do. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Song, let your heart connect.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
Don't go with me.
Still I will follow.
Still I will follow.
Don't unbelieve me.
Still will follow.
Follow.
I still will follow.
No turning back.
Don't go with me.
In an encounter like this, you want to look
follow.
At all the people that form distractions around you. The voice of your friends, popular opinion, the social media. And you want to say, "Don't not go with me. I will follow Jesus.
Don't go with me.
I still will follow.
I still will follow. No turning back.
My cross I'll carry.
Till I see Jesus.
My cross I'll carry.
Till I see Jesus.
No turning back. One more time.
My cross I'll carry.
If any man would follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross.
My cross
and follow
carry,
me.
Till I see Jesus.
My cross I'll carry.
No turning back.
The cross before me.
The cross before me.
No turning back.
I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life.
Say goodbye, world.
I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin.
Yeah.
I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life.
The decision to follow Jesus calls for total commitment. The decision to follow Jesus calls for total commitment. Child of God, listen to me. It will make no sense that after all said and done, you come to the point where you realize that somebody has sold false religion to you. You want to be able to buy gold that is tried in fire. And that's why you must always open up your heart to hear the word of God in its simplest form. The simplicity of the preaching of the gospel sounds so foolish, but it is the power of God unto salvation. And one of the reasons why we share things like this is because people are very quick to forget. A man stands in front of the altar, makes a commitment to a woman, And 2 weeks after, or 1 week after, he has forgotten everything that he has said. And that's how human beings behave. They forget that the commitment, the decision to follow Jesus, is a commitment, and a lifetime commitment at that. I want you to pay attention tonight. I just want to remind you, because it is unrighteousness to forget. Many people never remember. And I just want to bring it to fore. I want your hearts to open tonight so that you can remember that someday somebody stayed on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price. He shed his blood. He died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, so that by his stripes we were healed. Greater love had no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity was born on the altar of sacrifice. Someone died. Every time you wake up and you say, "In Jesus' name," remember that Jesus that is today seated at the right hand of the Father, he once went to the cross of Calvary and he paid a price for you. So that when you are tempted to turn, like Jesus said, whoever puts his hand on the plow and turn back, it's not worthy of the kingdom. And I love the way Paul puts it. He said, we are not of them that turn back unto perdition. We are not of them that turn back to perdition. We are not of them that turn back to perdition. There are many things around that will cause you to look behind. There are many things that will want you to look back. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Many people make the commitment and all of a sudden trials, temptations, pressure, one thing or the other. And before you know it, they are beginning to question their faith. Question their commitment. They are beginning to ask questions like, is this really, do I have to do all this? Does he have to take this much to follow? It cost him his life to give you eternal life. So that if in life it has to cost you your life, you do it because you have secured eternal life. Does it make any sense to anybody here? When we gave our lives to Jesus Christ many years ago, I cannot forget, it was not anything that looked like fun. No, it wasn't fun to us. It was sacrifice. We knew that we were called to sacrifice. I know that there are a lot of popular preaching of, you know, come to Jesus Christ, everything will turn around. Come to Jesus Christ, he's going to make you wealthy and rich and all that. Now, that's what people have said, but you need to look at what Jesus has said. Does it mean that he will not do all that? Oh, they are added, but there is something more important. And we have to focus on the real thing so that we are not carried away with the material things attached to our faith. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? The song reminds me of the fact that there are many things contending for our attention, fighting for our attention. There are many things that will happen on the face of the earth that will make you feel like going back. There are many things that will happen that you begin to ask questions, especially as we climax the end of age. Before the son of perdition, sorry, before the man of wickedness is revealed, the Antichrist, there'll be so much of pressure on people. Too many things will happen. The Bible says in the last days, many will come and they will say, I am Christ. And in the name of Christ, they will deceive many. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Each time I read that scripture, it reminds me of just one generation, this particular one. He said, they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And today pleasure is at our disposal, right on our phone, everywhere. People just find one thing or the other to help them stay busy. The only thing that they find it difficult to be busy with is the word of God and prayer. It's hard. It's not difficult to stay on your phone watching one comedian
It's not difficult to watch all the skits. It's not difficult to move from one to another. And by the time you check, it's 4 hours gone, sometimes 5 hours gone, and you have not achieved anything tangible. But immediately you come to the place of prayer, immediately you are sitting there, 10 minutes will look like it is 15 hours. All of your body, everything begins to rebel to the truth. Everything begins to react like you have to live here now. You can't do it anymore. It's too much. Come out of here. Why? Because the devil is contending for our attention so that we will not focus on him that we have committed our lives to. So you say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though no one goes with me, how come your friends are still pressuring you and you listen to them and you say, though no one goes with me? How come your friends are so important that when they just make a decision, you look at, there's somebody under the sound of my voice now. Sometimes the reason they never come for midweek service is because a friend is hanging out somewhere and they have to hang out. Sometimes they are distracted by many other things. Not because they are really busy. Many people, some people are not at work now. Some people have everything it takes, but it's difficult. The flesh will fight. Jesus said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why you must subject your flesh. You must put your flesh under subjection. Am I communicating tonight? Is anybody getting what I'm sharing here tonight? I want you to please pay attention. There's so much to share. I'll just try stop somewhere next week. I'll pick it up. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The statement is so clear, unequivocal, that it would take a very confused person to think that Jesus did not state his mind clearly. The first thing he said to the people he met on the road, when he was going to choose people to follow him, he said to them, he didn't say, follow me. Then he added a bait to deceive them. No, he said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Statement of purpose clear. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. I will stop this assignment of fishing for fish. I will give you a greater assignment and you start fishing for men. And funny enough, the last thing he said to them when he was going to leave them, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Now go into all the world and make disciples of all men. After 3.5 years of mentoring them, sitting down with them, teaching them the truth, showing them everything, he came back to the original statement of follow me, I will make you. Now he has made them. Then he said, go fish for men. Go fish for men. The first and the last statements of Jesus Christ, very clear. Everything that you have surrounded your Christianity with that is outside this is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. The first time he met them, knowing what he would do with their lives, he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. When he was going to leave them and they will not see him again, he said to them, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Go and make disciples of all nations. The same man who said, follow me, I will make fishers of men. When he was going to round up, exactly the same thing he said in a different way. Now I have made you start fishing for men. That's the assignment. So when Jesus said, follow, he said, follow for a particular reason. He didn't say, follow, and I will give you this, I will give you that. He didn't say, follow, and I will make you anything outside this. What he said he will make them primarily is what? Fishers of men. So if you find yourself in the church, anywhere anybody finds themselves in any church all over the world, and they don't have the understanding that the product that the church produces with strong disciples, you have missed it. The product of the church is strong disciples. The product of the church is what? Strong disciples. Unilever has products. Am I making sense here now? Coca-Cola has products, true or false? If you check every organization, Sony has different products. You call all of them. Apple has products. They have their products. The products that the church gives to the world is what? Disciples. So when Jesus said, follow me, I will make you disciples. Disciples that can disciple others. disciples that can disciple others. You will learn how to bring others to me, because the assignment is so that if I have imparted you, I would want you to bring others. So Peter standing, the first assignment after Jesus was raised from the dead and had gone to be with the Father in heaven, the first assignment, 3,000 fish he caught in one day. And the Bible says that day they baptized all of them. 3,000. And the assignment continued. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Another time he said, the city gathered. Another time he said, nearly the whole city. At the point he said, multitudes that cannot be numbered, they gathered. Why? The men trained, started practicing their craft of active soul winning. And they were multiplying souls. And somehow it got to you. May the baton not die in your hand. May it not die in your hand. If he had died in the hand of Peter, you won't get it. If he had died in the hand of Livingstone, you won't get it. If he had died in the hand of George Whitefield, you won't get it. If he had died in the hand of John Wesley or Charles Wesley or Smith Wigglesworth, you won't get it. They passed on the baton, the torch, to another generation. And there are many others, countless men and women that had no recognition or name. People never knew them, but they held their own batons. Some passed it to their children. Their children became forced to reckon with. Some passed it to their community. Some passed it to their state. Some were able to win a whole nation. How much have you done for the master? Following Jesus will cost you. But you have to pay the price. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Christians, you look around and you realize that many people are like the five virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. The foolish five virgins, they are sleeping. They are not aware that they don't have oil. By the time the bridegroom comes, they will start asking, please give me some oil. And of course, the answer will be clear. Go to them that buy, to them that sell, and buy for yourself. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't look like our Christ. We call ourselves Christians, but we're not manifesting the life of our Christ. We're not acting. We're not doing what he has said to do. It is one of the most difficult things to get believers to do. This thing that Jesus really spoke about. I'll talk about it. Let me talk about other things. The church is not a building. Before we built this place, we were meeting. Before we started meeting here, people meet in homes. People meet under the tree. People meet everywhere. So the church of Jesus Christ is not a building. The church is a group of called out people. People who believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and have made up their minds to follow him. That's church. The word church is ecclesia. Called out. Specially selected from amongst others. Called out. So that they will be on a mission. An apostolic mission. An apostolic mission to enter into territories and win over that territory. So that God's plan for us is that everywhere the sole of your feet tread, each time we buy a land, we say it has been given to us. But we forget that when the land is given to you, physical territory you have taken, the souls of men in that land also is a territory. Every man represents a territory that the devil has influenced that you're supposed to conquer. Every man is a territory. Anyone that is not born again, the devil has influenced. And it's the assignment of the believer to conquer that territory. So each time you see a soul, each time you see a person who is not born again, you should think territorially. You should think it is time to conquer this territory. That's how you should think. That's the only way you will be able to make impact in the lives of people. He said, have dominion, subdue the earth. And don't forget that the man standing before you is made of earth. Subdue the heart of that man for Jesus. Subdue the heart of that man for Jesus so that the man can be drawn to Christ. Each time I look at Christianity today, I must say that I'm very concerned. Very concerned. Jesus said, if the Son of Man comes back to the face of the earth, will he find a single faith? You see hundreds of people gather in church, and sometimes you can't explain the fact that they don't understand anything about soul winning. Some people have been in church for 2 years and they ask them to win a soul. They say, I'm shy. Some have been in church for 3 years, for 1 year, and for five years. And sometimes when you push them out, they say, you know, not all of us are called to preach. It's an embarrassment. How dare you say that from a mouth? That kind of mouth, say not all of us are called to preach. We might not be all called to be pulpit preachers, but wherever you find yourself, you are an ambassador, a disciple, a representative of this kingdom. And you have to open your mouth so that he will feel it. None of them said to themselves that they weren't called. No. Make disciples of all men. All men, all nations, everywhere. And when you do them, he said, the things that I have taught you, teach them to do the same thing. In other words, we're supposed to raise disciples that will know how to replicate disciples. Is it not shameful that sometimes we sit it like this now? You don't have one person that is counting on you for spiritual milk. You don't have a babe that is counting on you for spiritual. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to our faith. Nobody is attached to you that is counting on you for spiritual milk. You don't have anybody to feed. And people stay like that year in, year out in church. And sometimes they are looking for position. Sometimes they are looking for title. Sometimes they are just talking about riches and wealth and everything. And God is saying, is that the original thing? There's more. I can give you all these things. But see, the Bible is clear. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek ye first. The reason why many things are not added the way God would have added it, God's way, is because many people are not even seeking the kingdom of God first. When Jesus began his ministry, his first words were, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And by the time he was going to wrap up in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. From the beginning to the end, his mission was clear, to make disciples and not just believers. The focus is on raising disciplined followers, not reckless followers. The word discipleship is taken from the word discipline. And you know what it means to say discipline? That means to be able to subdue every other thing and follow one. You go to school and they will ask you, what's your what? Discipline. What they are trying to say is that, what have you focused on? Leaving every other thing. That's what it means. What's your discipline? What have you focused on? Leaving every other thing. When a disciple connects with a master, what the disciple is saying is that, I have seen many other people, but I have decided to leave them. And I will focus on you. I will model after you. I will act the way you act. I will do things the way you do it. I will speak the way you speak. I will behave the way you behave. And I will get the results you get. That's what discipleship is about. Am I communicating tonight? Yes. But all of a sudden, two friends enter your life and you begin to act like your friends. You have left Jesus. And you still open the same mouth and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. No, you need to know who you have followed. You have followed your friends. You have followed your desires. You have followed your selfish ambition. You have followed... Many people started well. Sometimes when I look at believers, you just sit at the start point. You look at believers and you say, can I see how this person started? For some people who are in this church, I look at the way you were speaking in tongues and the kind of fire you were carrying initially. If I look at you again now, I ask myself, is this the same person? Is this the same person? And there are some that you can rejoice with them and say, of the truth, they are moving from glory to glory. And somebody will sit in their heart and say, do I have to show it? That's why you are blind. That's why you are not getting results. That's why you are not a disciple. Every disciple understands that by their fruit, you shall know them. If you have no fruits to show, you are a barren tree. Nobody is seeing your consecration again. Nobody is seeing your commitment again. Nobody is seeing your devotion. And the best excuse is that, I don't have to show it. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. I went to preach somewhere the other day and a young man came to me. The young man happens to, I remember the early days of his calling. He will always come. He will call me and he will disturb me. Say, sir, can I come? If you just to lay hands on me or something. I started correcting his perspectives. And I said, it's not just the laying on of hands. There is a part that will play. But your own discipline, your own consecration, your own devotion. There are certain things that the discipler does in secret. Ask for those things. Don't ask for the things I do in public. I preach in public. I lay hands in public. What am I doing in secret that gives the result in the public? That's what you should be asking for. I kept schooling this young man. And he took these things to heart. He took them to heart, and from there he will report sometimes, and he will say, sir, I'm going on so-so number of fasting. Am I okay? I say, go ahead. Sometimes he talks about some things, maybe totally unreasonable. I say, be very careful with your health, but manage it well. Then the young man began to grow. Then I went to preach, and he came to me, and he said, good morning, sir. I said, good afternoon, sir. I said, good afternoon. He said, the fire you ignited is still burning. And it's burning more now. Kai, my heart leaped for joy. He said, the fire you ignited is still burning. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the day end. Kalabasana kabarabadash. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, Jesus. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the end, I pray. He said, sir, the fire you ignited is still burning, and it is burning more. He got married and the fire is still burning. Some people, as soon as they got married, their fire died. Some people did well as singles. As soon as they entered relationship, their fire extinguished. Instead of two to be better than one, then the two became a problem. You need to check yourself. What's quenching your fire? What's stopping you? You have allowed certain people to your space, certain association. They should not be there. They are fire extinguishers. And that's why your commitment to follow Jesus is no longer real. And that's why you have to repent and say, Jesus, if there's any way I have left you, if there's any way I have focused on other things, if there's any way some other things have taken the place and the stage of my heart, Jesus, purge me today so that I will follow you sincerely and wholeheartedly. Look around and do an assessment. What is that thing that has taken the place of Jesus in your heart? What is that thing that you are following so dearly? What is that thing that you have become so committed to? And now Jesus doesn't mean so much again. You need to check it. You need to check it. 3.5 years Jesus spent with them and they became world changers. They became world changers. 5 years, people are still immature in church. 4 years, you are still explaining to them little things. Paul said, when you ought to be teachers, you still need again that someone will teach you the elementary things. He said, we have to leave this doctrine of baptisms and the judgment and death and laying on of hands and move to higher things, because there are higher things in this kingdom. But for the sake of the people who are not growing, sometimes it's difficult to move, because if you move, some of them will say, the way they are preaching these things, it makes the Christianity look too hard. It looks hard because you are not growing. I have shared this over and I will say it again and again. If I put a 25 liter of water here and tell a 7-year-old boy to carry it, he will not be able to carry it. The problem is not with the liter. The problem is not with the boy. The only thing is that the weight of the water is too much for the boy to carry. If this boy grows, just give him some time. The same boy who could not carry that liter of water, by the time he grows up, now he will handle it easily. The reason why some truths are difficult for you to chew is because you are yet a babe. When you grow, you chew it easily. The reason why we cannot give you bone to gnaw is because you don't have the capacity to do it. Or else all of your gums, blood everywhere. And that's what we have today in Christendom. Many people, is it wrong to be a babe? No. Desire the sincere milk. Unfortunately, those who are supposed to be giving babe milk, they themselves are looking for milk. Have you seen it when a child of 3 years old is pursuing the mother as if he wants to suck? Sometimes the mother will push. She says, stop this rubbish. Don't disturb me again. And the child is saying, the mother is saying, there is one here that needs to suck. And some of us, that's what God is doing to you. He has kept you aside until you are serious. Until you are ready to go into the kitchen and get your dish yourself. Until you are ready to grow up so that you can start handling spiritual realities. And you say, I feel like God is not with me. God is there, but he's saying that you are grown up enough to handle this food yourself. I won't spoon feed you any longer. We have babies that we're supposed to breastfeed. We can't keep spoon feeding you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? In those times, it looks as if, where is God? What have I done? And God is saying, you have not done anything. The only problem is that you're not growing. And you can stay at a particular position like that and starve, but your food is there. Pick your spoon and start eating. That's what God is saying to some people here. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus made a clear statement. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Let's go. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, this is what it means to follow me. He says, let him deny himself. Number two, take up his cross and follow me. So the first thing is that you must have a desire to follow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not that they are dragging you to church. It's not that, oh, they are bringing me to church. Or, oh, I saw a babe strolling to church, so I strolled in with her. Congratulations, you have strolled. Even if you stroll out of this service like that, you will never recover again. Because something has to enter you. Something has to enter you. Eternal life has to come. You were pursuing the mundane, but God is looking at your ordination. And that's why he has brought you to that place. I've heard countless people who say, oh, I just came to the church because I thought that I could get something like this. And God is saying, beyond that, I want to give you life and life eternal. And after I have given you life, I want to make you fisher of men. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Yes. For some people, the reason God brought you here is because of the seed that you are carrying as a woman. God is not reckless with what he has invested inside of you. So he has given you an opportunity to position yourself so that as a woman, you'll be able to be the womb of intercession that will carry that great destiny. If you fail, there will be a replacement because God cannot be stranded. Maximize your opportunity with God. The same thing with men. God will give you the opportunity. God chose Joseph. Joseph had nothing to do with Mary in the place of sexual relations. No, but God chose Joseph. Why? Joseph had been a pious man all his life. And God said, I will use you. There are other people around. But Joseph, your story is such that you are the kind of person that I have decided to consider favored. And as Mary was favored, so was Joseph favored. There are many other ladies in town. But God decided to use them. I pray that God will count you worthy and find you faithful to be used for certain assignments that are noble in the name of Jesus. Paul said, I thank my God who has counted me worthy. Counted me faithful. He considered me faithful and put me into the ministry. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but of him that God shows mercy. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? So the first thing, if you are going to follow Jesus, there must be a desire. He said, if any man, look at what he says there. Go back to that scripture. Desire has to be there. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, desire to come after me. So you will first of all desire to come. They won't have to drag you. If they are dragging you, no, you have not started. You have to come to the place where it's not, nobody is dragging you. You are now the one. Initially, they brought you. Now you are falling in love with the master. Initially, they brought you and introduced you to him. Now he has given you spirit drink and you are captivated. You are raptured by his love. Then your desire begins to grow. Then they organize a midweek service. You are not hiding. They call for meetings. You are not saying, let people who are very spiritual go. What are you? Canal? Desire. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Blessed are they who hunger. That's the desire. They have to. You have to be hungry. If you are not hungry and they give you food, it will be a waste. How many of us understand what I'm saying here now? You're not hungry and they give you. You just finished eating, loaded, and you're ready. And they brought food. No matter how nice the meal is, it will make no sense to you because you have gotten to that point of satisfaction already. So this one doesn't make sense. But when you are hungry, when you are very hungry and they bring a meal to you, you will eat. You will eat so much that the whole of your system, you start sweating. And somebody who sees you will know that this guy is hungry. May God bless you with the gift of hunger tonight. Child of God, I pray for you that God will bless you with the gift of hunger. So much hunger that he will be your obsession. So much hunger that you will see him as your desire. So much hunger that nothing else will be able to satisfy you. In the name of Jesus. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. After that desire comes denial of yourself. If any man will follow me, if any man desires to follow me, so the man will desire to follow me, then he will deny himself. He will deny himself. Child of God, this is where a lot of people find it difficult. They find it so difficult to deny themselves. You know why? They have personal ambitions. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, please, let's get to Philippians chapter 3 tonight. Let me just show you a few things there. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Philippians, we're going to read it together. Philippians, NIV. Can you put the NIV for me? Let's just quickly look at this. NIV. I'll see how fast you can read this. Furthermore, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, as it is a safeguard for you. It is no trouble to write. It is a safeguard for you. Go ahead now. Watch out for those dogs. Those evil doers. Watch out for those dogs. Those evil doers. Those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision. We who serve God by his spirit. Who boast in Christ Jesus and do not put confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I am that kind of person, I more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now Paul is giving his CV. He's trying to help you understand the kind of person, so that when he shows you the things that he had to deny, how he denied himself, you will know that it was not just somebody who stumbled on it. No. You will know that this guy, for this kind of person to make this sacrifice, it's a serious matter. At the age of 30, Paul was already a high-ranking Pharisee. When ordinarily it would take the 30th year for people to believe in what you'll be saying as a Jew. But at 30, Paul had already started studying so much that when he clocked 30, when he speaks, everybody will have to listen. Taught by the highest of the scholars, Gamaliel, Paul had learned so much. They had given him certification upon certification. So he wanted to start showing everything here. Then he said, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, he said, now, see, as it touching the law, I'm not an ordinary person. I'm not just someone who comes to the church. No, I'm not just somebody that is a member sitting in the pew. No, he said, I am a Pharisee. A Pharisee is supposed to be a custodian. Somebody who is a custodian of the truth of God in the temple, in the synagogue. Those who will show you things. They will dissect and explain to you the laws of God. They were the keepers of the law, the lawyers of the Jewish faith. Paul is speaking here, and he said, a Pharisee. Go ahead now. As for zeal, in other words, if you think you are zealous, I need to show you how much zeal I had being a Pharisee. The quality of my zeal. So that I don't know where, you know, he's trying to say, I don't know where you might be coming from, but you need to know where I am coming from. As cutting zeal, if they say somebody is very, very zealous, somebody follows tenaciously with all his life, Paul is saying, I am one of them. Persecuting the church, that's the, not just that I am zealous, shouting and telling everybody, come back to Judaism. No, I went as far as getting letters of approval, stamped, sealed, so that if I enter a church, and I see any person who claims to be a Christian, if I enter a city, I can hold them and kill them. And I'll be free to walk away from that place. And nobody will touch me. I have gotten letters. That's the kind of man. So much so that in the credential of Paul, we see that he was the one that Stephen that was killed. Paul commanded the stoning of Stephen. Paul stood there that day and said, stone that man. The Bible said they gathered their clothes. And they kept it with Paul. And he was watching. And he said, are you done stoning? Come on, stone him very well. That was the kind of person. He said, I had gone so far in the Jewish religion to the point where if I see a person they call Christian, I will stone the person to death. And one example, Stephen. The bishop, you and the elder or the deacon that you and I revere so much. Of the seven, two of them were mentioned with pride in the Bible. Stephen and Philip. And he said, I killed one. I handled that one. I settled his matter. just to show you the level of my conviction, the level at which I follow the Jewish faith. Heavy commitment. Are we here together? Yes. As for righteousness based on the law, Paul said faultless. You know what that means? For somebody to write a letter that he knows everybody will read, everybody will see. For somebody to write a letter that he knows that will enter into the synagogues and they will look and they say, who is the man? And if they say, Paul, you say, okay. If it's Paul, we agree. Faultless. In other words, Paul said that Paul had nursed the ambition of following the Jewish religion to the point where he would not need to marry. So when he got into the faith, he continued like that. He gave all his best. When it comes to Jew, you know what it means, this Jewish religion? Look at all the rules and regulations. Don't eat this. Paul will not eat. Pray 5 times a day. I will pray. Love your neighbor as yourself. I have loved. That's what he's trying to say. That anything you call the Jewish things that they do, I have tried it. Whatever their definition of love is in the Jewish faith, I have done it. Then read through all the 600 and something, what do you call it now, laws of Moses. Paul is saying, Kai, I am faultless. If there's any man that you will call faultless in the Jewish faith, I, Paul, am faultless. That's the man you see here. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Just to follow Jesus, he said, all of my credentials, all of my qualification, the pride that I have in the Jewish religion, anytime Paul entered the synagogue, Rabbi, his boys will be following him. Oh, you don't understand. His boys will be following him. The ones that he's mentoring and teaching and his disciples, they will follow him. Now, the same disciples will look at him and some of them slapped him for believing Jesus. Some of them insulted him for believing Jesus. Because he had chosen to follow Jesus, he was now hiding from his boys. Because they now sent his boys after him. That if you see that guy that calls himself your boss, go and get him. We'll finish him. And Paul started crying. He said, why are they persecuting me? If I had followed what they wanted, they wouldn't persecute me. This persecution is because I have left everything to follow this man. He said, what was gained to me? The things that I called my, how do I put it now? My reputation, my pride. If they would read anything in all of my credentials, all those things, then Paul went one by one and he started canceling it. One by one, canceled everything. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man who goes around town buying precious pearls. Then one day he came in contact with a precious stone. And as soon as he saw that one, everything he ever bought, he sold all of them. And he bought just one, Jesus alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strife, my strength, my song. This song, this solid, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love, what depth of peace, when fears are still. When striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. I have found Jesus. I have found true love. I have seen light. Now everything I have achieved looks like dust. Everything became sawdust before Paul. And Paul said, I count it all but dung. I count it all but dung. I count everything as just shit. They make no sense. All my credentials, being a Pharisee, being respected, being acknowledged, whatever it is, all of my friends, those that we sit together in the council of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, and we judge matters of all that. He said, I regard myself as foolish now. I've chosen to be foolish for the sake of Christ. That's the Jesus that many people are proud to follow. That's the Jesus that many people feel like is not worth following. For a Jewish man to leave this Jewish religion and follow Jesus is a serious matter. You know why? The Jews are the first people that God gave the oracles. They are custodians of the laws of God. So it is natural for Jews to convert others. To convert a Jew, it's like something literally impossible. That's how it looked. Because they will tell you that, wait, are you okay? Look at every time you read the Bible, they say, we are sons of Abraham. Are you okay? If you call Abraham, he's our father. The rest of the world, they are devils. We are sons of Abraham. That's how the Jews feel. Now, Paul will carry that credential, not forgetting again that after all these things that he had achieved, he had come to the height where every single person respected him. The same man will now bow his head. The same man will not be able to enter the synagogues where he will preach confidently. Why? Because they will stone him. The same man will... Jesus Christ said, Paul, when he called Ananias to go and lay hands on Paul, he said, go and lay hands for him. I will show him the things that he will suffer for my sake. So his calling had suffering attached to it. His calling had suffering attached to it. And he knew it from day one, yet he followed. But they preach Christianity to you and it was saying here now. That's what they preach to Paul. That when you will suffer. In fact, they don't need to preach. God, it was not man that came to preach to Paul this message. It was God that told him that, Paul, wake up. Yes, I'm sending you somewhere. But the message I'm sending you on, it will be full of sufferings all your life. And he said, yes, sir. With all my heart, with all my heart, I will live to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Make up your mind if you really want to follow Jesus. The first thing is that you will deny yourself. To deny yourself means that your personal ambition will follow. To deny yourself means that your self-centered living will be off the way. And your focus will be on Jesus. It means that you will surrender. The things that you count as gain, you will now count them as dung. Look at Paul. Look at it. Look at it. Go back there. He said, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I have lost how many things? All things. I have lost how many things? All things. Kai. I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I consider them garbage that I may what? Gain Christ. Go ahead. Go ahead. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of what? Faith. I want to know Christ that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. You don't know what that means. Paul said that I may know him, then I will know the power of his resurrection. Then you know what it means? The fellowship of his sufferings. Now look at it now. You need to understand what he's saying here. He said to know the power of his resurrection and participating in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. In other words, from the one, Paul said, if it is that I have to die the way he died, now I am ready. Now I am ready. If I have to die the way he died. I've told you that one of the things that will happen in this end time, you're seeing it everywhere on the internet already. A lot of people are preaching all manner of things. And some people are going to the extreme of the confusion, while others are on this side of pleasure. But God has taught us the balance. And that's why I'm bringing this truth to us. I'm bringing it to us so that every time you look around town and you see many things, your eye can be single. You can know from your heart of heart that the truth that you have heard, it is not cheap. The truth that you have heard, you can hold it strong and say, I know what the truth is. Clearly in scriptures, all these things I'm showing you now. I want to know Christ and know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from what? The dead. Not that I have already obtained all this. Can you see it now? Or have already arrived at my goal. He said, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Do you understand that? That means there was a reason why Christ grabbed me. And me, I am pursuing that thing that made Jesus catch me. Many people are not pursuing the thing that made you get born again. The reason for which God went after, left the 99 to look for you. Are you doing it? You can't just sit and start singing, oh, he left the 99, he left the 99. Now they have found you one. Are you a one plus or a one minus? Because when he left the 99 to pick you, he had something in mind. That you were going to serve him and follow him. He had something in mind, an assignment attached to calling you. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So when he was leaving the 99 to come after you, he saw a potential. He saw somebody who had the ability. He saw something big inside of you, and now he has picked you. May your fire not go out. I can't hear you. I say, may your fire not burn out. May it not be heard that small things around business, money, finance, career has taken your attention and your gaze off God. In the name of Jesus. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? If you get this truth, you have gotten everything. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy
my soul.
Amane kasko frandele
bash. Satisfy my soul.
Time will not permit. Deny yourself. The second one is take up your cross. Take up your cross. Look at your neighbor. Say, take up your cross. You're not saying it. Tell your neighbor, take up your cross. Now, whether you say it or not, everybody has a cross to carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't have to like it, but everybody has a cross to carry. You don't have to like it. There's nobody on the face of the earth who chooses to follow Jesus that will not take up cross. You can abandon the cross, but the cross is still there. The more you abandon it, the more weighty it becomes. The more you abandon it, the more weighty. The more you embrace the cross, the lighter it becomes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more you embrace the cross, the lighter it becomes. How many of us have been to a gym? The first time you get there, they give you 50 kg and you are struggling. It looks so hard. And they will tell you, hold on, start with 5 kg. Then you start with 5 kg. You move to 10 kg. Somewhere you got around 30. And by the time you came to 50, you were not aware it was the same 50 you ran away from 3 months ago. Now you could pick the 50 and you could do like 15 jabs on it. But the first day they gave you the 50, you lifted it and it was as if the food you ate were going to throw up. What happened? You exercised yourself. And by the time you had stayed with the cross, it was the same cross. It's the same cross. But you started as if you were picking something small. You got familiar with the little things. So that when you now got to that thing, it wasn't looking big anymore. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? The reason many people are struggling with their cross is that they have not gone back to start with the sincere milk. If you give a child a morsel of, what they call it now, a of fufu, you give that child, you wickedness to give a 1 month old child that. Am I making sense? But when you start giving the child milk, then one day you move from giving the child milk, you introduce cereals. From introducing cereals, you introduce maybe rice and other small things that you can manage. Then one day you will put it, and the same child that will never have been able to take that will now swallow it. Something tells you that the child is growing, true or false. The more you are able to carry is the proof that you are growing. If little things begin to offend you, they talk little thing in the church, you are offended. They do little thing, you are already offended. You are not ready yet. You need to go back to the books and sit down and learn the elementary and basic things so that by the time you come to something strong, you will not be looking too hard. Child of God, listen. There is a call on everybody here. I want you to understand that my call for you tonight is to cherish your cross. I didn't say like your cross. The word is not like. Cherish. Somebody say cherish. Somebody say cherish. To cherish something is to fall in love with it so dearly. Embrace it so much that what would have looked like a disadvantage is now something that you have loved. Paul said, for the things that would have been gained to me, I count them all but dung. And I have followed Jesus Christ my Lord. Whatever the cross is, you now have to follow it. Sit down. And the same thing that looks so hard and tough, then you pick it now. Then you begin to carry and you're wondering that, wow, it's looking so simple. Christianity is now fun. And some people are saying, it's hard. It's not easy to serve God. And you're asking them, how? Why? I don't understand what you're saying. Because your song has changed. So I cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'm carrying a cross today, but when I get to the finish line, it will be a crown. is a cross that you are holding now. But when you get to the finish line, sir, it will not be a cross. You will realize that what you were actually carrying, the master will take the cross and he will give you a crown. There's a crown waiting. There's a crown waiting. And that's why if you abandon the cross, you will not be able to come in contact with the crown. You will not even get to the point of crowning. It is the carrying of the crown, cross, that gives you license. Your cross is your visa to receiving the crown. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. A friend that cannot save you is denying you, is pulling you back from your cross. A friend that cannot save, just for the pleasure of becoming like your friend. I heard somebody the other day, I saw something terrible, you know, on the status, and I was like, my dear, how would you do this? Since I'm really sorry. I said, why? He said, no, it's not about the sorry. I'm not attacking you. I just want to know what led you to this. And he said, if my friends are doing it and they'll do it, they will feel like I'm not following. I said, for your friends. For your friends. For your friends, you look at Jesus to the face and you spit on Jesus. For your friends. For your friends, your bond with Jesus becomes nothing because of your friends. Will somebody not look at that friend today and confidently say, I'm walking away from this friendship, because it will never profit you anything to remain there? Let that friend look for you and say, why have you left me? You say, no, there is something I have cherished. It is the old rugged cross. I won't trade you for silver nor gold. And I won't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. And you mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver nor gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You were my everything. Why will you not do this? I won't trade him for anything. Why would you not behave like I wouldn't trade him for anything? He didn't want heaven without me. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Rise up on your feet, let's pray tonight. Kabali Baroshka. My sin was great, your love was great. So what can separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name.
Name is so beautiful, Jesus. Nothing else.
What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus.
Yes, he brought
what a beautiful name. Nothing compares
to him.
What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus.
Listen. A teenager. One of the Matthias. If you read the Fox's book of Matthias, you see that. She was asked to denounce Jesus. Look at your friends. Look at other people. What's wrong with you? And this girl, after having encountered Christ, they were going to feed her to lions. Feed her to what? Lions. And she looked at her friends. And right at the spot, she counted the cost. And she made up her mind, a teenage girl, that she would prefer to be fed to lions than to follow her friends and feed her flesh. And this girl entered there and they released the lions. Initially, the lions were just looking, but somewhere along the line, they tore her apart. And while the lions were tearing her apart, she remembered her commitment to Jesus. She remembered the commitment she had made to Jesus, and nothing else mattered to her. And this girl will see Jesus face to face. Face to face. When Stephen was being stoned to death, remember what Stephen recorded for us to read. He said, Jesus, he saw him. And Jesus will not stand on his throne just for anybody, no. He will only stand for those that it is worth standing up for. And Stephen, as they were stoning him to death, the Bible said Jesus stood up. I can imagine Jesus looking at Stephen and clapping his hand and saying, this is exactly what I mean. Those who will follow me. And Jesus, Stephen staying there, looked at them and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He didn't curse them. He didn't shout. He didn't say all those things. He followed Jesus to the very end. Child of God, it's really amazing to see how that today, even when we look at the way we are pursuing many things and we are planting churches, people prefer to plant churches in the UK, in Canada. How many people are going to the places where they really need churches? It shows us how that our heart is not really with the souls. Our heart is with something else. They went from Jerusalem to Judea. Why Jerusalem? Jerusalem was the toughest place. To convert the Jews would be a very difficult task. Jerusalem, the place where they will start by killing you. If they go to other nations, they can still understand it. But these ones, they will kill them. The sentence to preach in Jerusalem is death. And he said, start from Jerusalem. Where next? He said, Judea again. He said, yes. Samaria, before you enter the uttermost part of the earth. Start from the region where it is tough. So that you'll be trained, you'll be molded well enough. So that when you get to the other areas, you will not be scared. You will stand tall. Many people went to preach Christ in regions where, I remember one of the guys preaching Christ, and a lion, to defend the people he was preaching to, a lion came out from nowhere and held him tight and nearly tore him to death before he killed the lion. He died early just to save the souls of those people. When people have not read the Bible and they have not taken time to look through the books in history, from history, to see the lives of men who follow Jesus, sometimes just because of a little thing, because you are not committing fornication, you feel like you are the highest Christian. What's that? What's that? What is that? What's that? Say, you are now self-righteous. And since I got bring up, I've not committed fornication. Is that it? What we're talking about? Elementary things. Because you see that many believers everywhere have messed up themselves. So you think that you are the highest. That's elementary. What did I say? Is what? Elementary. So after all, I'm born again now. I don't smoke. I don't do this. Forget. Those are elementary things. Those are elementary things. Paul said, let's leave these elementary things and come to higher things. The realm where our faith and our soul so knitted to his own that nothing can separate us. And when we talk about separation, I'm not talking about eternal separation. Peril, temptations, famine, sword. Go and read all the things. Sword. He mentioned sword, peril, famine, all those things. He said, what will separate us from the love of Christ, from love of God that is in Christ Jesus? I want you to pray and say, God, help me fall in love with you sincerely. Help me fall in love with you so that I can follow you. Create in me that desire, that hunger. That desire, that hunger. I don't just want to do Christianity just on at the surface. No, this surface Christianity, enough of it. Enough of the bragging about surface Christianity. Enough. 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 Oh, I don't lie again. Yes. Deeper things of the kingdom. Those are basics. You need to come to serious things. I want you to pray and say, God, help me to fall in love with you sincerely. Help me to fall in love with you sincerely. Help me to fall in love with you sincerely. Sometimes when we say we are Christians, when we claim to be Christians, sometimes the devil looks and is asking, are you sure? Are you sure? Because the only thing I can see hanging around you is the fact that you have made confession to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I am not seeing the commitments of followership. I am not seeing the discipline of discipleship. I am not seeing the devotion that comes with true discipleship. I want us to pray and say, Jesus, help me fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with you. Let my love for you be real. Many people, because of their children, they have left Jesus. Many people, for the sake of their relationship, they have left Jesus. Many people, one thing or the other, very small things everywhere. Whereas some people counted it but dung, so that they will follow Jesus. I want you to pray and say, Jesus, help me. Help me fall in love with you sincerely. If they don't party, some people will not come to church. If it is not an air-conditioned evangelist, some people will not go there. If they don't have lights and noise everywhere, some people will feel like that's not church yet. Kai, when people worship under trees, when people found it a pleasure to stay under rocks, hiding for their faith, for the sake of their faith, they were hiding under rocks. They were hiding under intense weather condition that was enough to kill people. They were there just for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. I want you to pray. Be sincere with your prayer tonight. Aleba robo shana kepe leba sande leba skapaya. Rabane monoko sonde ruana kabayandesh. I want you to pray and say, Jesus, help me follow you sincerely. I want you to pray from your hearts tonight. I want you to pray. Just pray. I'm going to sing, but I don't want you to sing along with me. I want you to pray. I want you to make commitments to Jesus. I want you to say, Jesus, I will follow you. Some people, it was just relocation. They relocated. Just because they relocated, everything about Jesus disappeared from their brain. Some people went for just relocation from one region to another, and it was as if Jesus evaporated from their mind. No turning back. I want you to pray. Just let me do the singing. I want you to make your commitment to Jesus. I want you to make your commitment to Jesus. Just begin to tell him, talk to him, and say, Jesus, help me. What is that thing that I have taken so much, that I have priced so high, that I have abandoned you? Is it my friend, my children, my business, my career? For some people, for business sake, they will not appear. Some people will just say, I'm so tired. Kai. Jesus was tired, yet he carried the cross. Tired, yet he carried the cross. One day you will remember, you say, ah, my pastor taught me well. I was taught well. Yes, you will remember it. You remember it.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
to
follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning.
Everybody
back.
Say, I have decided.
I have decided
to follow.
To follow.
You are making a commitment.
Jesus.
I want you to mean it from your heart. Because after this service, that temptation will come again. This week, another temptation will come.
Jesus.
That will try to take your attention. Many things will come.
I have decided.
But when you remember your commitment to Jesus, you say, no, I made up my mind.
No turning back. No turning back.
Say, I have decided.
I have decided
to
follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Even if no one goes with me, even if my friends leave me.
I have decided.
Some of you are afraid of talking about the things
Jesus
that your friends are doing. You can't even report
no
it. You can't walk away from
no
it. And you are calling yourself
no
a disciple of Jesus.
No,
that's not serious discipleship. You need to get serious with this thing. Men died for this gospel. Blood was shed for this gospel. People left their families for this gospel. People sacrifice their own marriage for this gospel. Now God has given you the opportunity to even marry. And yet the marriage has become the excuse. Why?
I have decided to follow Jesus. No
I'm following Jesus, the reason I'm following Jesus the way I'm following, it's not because my wife permits it or allowed it. If she will not allow me to follow Jesus, I will leave her. Because number one priority is Jesus. So I'm not because she's, if she complains and gets tired of the Jesus, and the Jesus is her problem, I'll leave her. Anything, nothing will take his place. Nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because when I started following him, none of them were here. None of them. I started following Jesus as a teenager. None of them. And nobody can stop me. And that's why coming into my life, all of them have to follow. Everybody has to follow. It might be difficult. You might have to back a baby. It doesn't matter. You might have to cut. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing. Nothing. That was how I was taught. My father would tell the story of how they would have to run early in the morning to church. Why? He will have to teach Sunday school. And this woman needs to be in Sunday school. And we have to get there early. Because the teacher must not go there late. And we have to carry everybody. Drag. Even then, they didn't even have car. They were going to ride on bikes. Yet, they will not be late. Now, you see people, the way they stroll into church on Sunday. The way they are chewing gum and strolling into church. You will know something is wrong. I'm not talking about those who are just born again. Day one, day two, day three. You have been in church for a while. What are you? What exactly is it that you are not seeing? If you read your Bible very well, by yourself, you will know that there's a problem with the kind of churches around town. You will know. You will know. If you read your Bible by yourself very well, you sit down, you will know something is wrong somewhere. No, something is wrong. They have left the original curriculum. They have devised something else. You will know. Nobody needs to tell. You will know. So when we preach like this, we are not preaching because we just feel like. We are preaching because we have to let people come back and see that if you don't follow this narrow path, it is not a broad road, it's narrow. It has not changed. Hello? Hello? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It has not changed. It's not a broad road. This is not broad street. It is narrow. The way that leads to life is still what? Narrow. In other words, you cannot, listen. You can't hold your friend. Two people cannot be on. The road is not as wide as this self. Two people can manage this. The road that leads to life is narrow. It's one person, one you, decisions. Jesus Christ said, for a rich man to enter the kingdom, we have to pass through the eye of a needle. You know what eye of needle is? Go and get a needle and try to pass a rope through and see how difficult it is sometimes. That is the example you can use. And those days, they have what they call the eye of the needle. Every camel must have to drop everything that it is carrying to pass. Then they will start carrying those things one by one. Bring it in. How come people have carried so much of baggage? People have carried, inside this Jesus, they have carried cohabitation. Inside this Jesus, they have embraced every rubbish, all manner of, let me just not mention all the things. Everything plus Jesus, every nonsense plus Jesus. No way. You and I must be the crusaders. You must be the crusader. What you used to love before, I was sharing with somebody and say, what he used to do before in the area, now people cannot do it where he is because they will say, if this person sees you, but that was what he was the captain of before. When you meet Jesus and you sincerely and genuinely meet him, something has to change. For time's sake, stretch forth your hands. I'm going to pray with you tonight. I'm going to pray with you. That my prayer for you tonight is that the flame of love for Jesus will begin to burn in your heart. The flame of love for Jesus will begin to burn in your heart. In the name of Jesus. This message will carry you all through this week. And every time you raise your voice to pray, one prayer that will come out of your mouth will be, Jesus, help me fall in love with you. Help me fall in love with you. Help me fall in love with you. I will sacrifice anything just to fall in love with you. Your prayer language will change and align in the name of Jesus. Nothing will be more important than Jesus. Nothing will be more important than Jesus. In your life, nothing will be more important. In your life, nothing will be more important. No matter what that thing is, listen to me, it will not be more important. In the name of Jesus. All eyes closed. I want to pray for those who want to accept Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior. All eyes closed. If you want to make a commitment to Jesus to follow him tonight, you say, Pastor, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to make a sincere commitment to follow Jesus.
Can you quietly raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you tonight. If you are online, please indicate. If you are here on site, raise your hand confidently. I want to pray with you tonight. Do you want to make a commitment to follow Jesus? Sincere commitment. That I have heard this word. I have heard the word of life, the word of truth. And I want to follow Jesus. Raise your hand confidently, please. If you want to make that commitment. And as your hands are raised, you will say these words after me wherever you are. Raise your hand confidently, please. That's one of the things. He said, if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. That's what Jesus said. He said, whoever is ashamed of me on earth, I will be ashamed of him before my Father and the angels. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. To follow Jesus is the best decision, so you should be excited about it. If you want to make that decision, raise your hand and say these words after me. Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. And I declare I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now listen, while I was making that prayer, the Spirit of God whispered to my heart that there are some people who want to make a commitment. You, as I was speaking, you know that a lot of things have taken your attention. Friends, that your fire has literally burnt out. There's no fire on your altar. You just know that a lot of things, distractions everywhere. Friends, you have so accommodated some things that your friends are doing, you are beginning to behave like them. You have gone back to your vomit and you want to make a commitment to say, Jesus, I am sorry, I am making a commitment today. I'm going back to say, I delete every nonsense message. I remove everything that is distracting me. I lay aside every weight and the sin that does easily beset me. And I run with endurance the race that is set before me. Somebody like that in this house tonight, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you. Place your hand on your chest. I'm going to pray with you. As a center of commitment. God bless you. Place your hand on your chest and say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I renew my commitment. I am sorry for the way that I have gone. I am sorry for the way I have treated your word. I am sorry for disregarding you, Jesus. Have mercy on me. I receive forgiveness of sin. I realign. I retrace my step. Nothing will take your place again. Jesus, take the stage. Lead me. Guide me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.